You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. And now, here's Drew and his trusty sidekick, Thor, just thinking about it.
You know, I gotta say, I was trying to figure out what the segue is with this song. Tim so nicely is just trying to give me great music for my sort of birthday show today. But when I hear this, even though it's not Earth, Wind, and Fire,
yeah,
all I have is a visual in my mind of an incredibly white hockey player named Mark Osborne doing the white man's overbite at the Earth, Wind, and Fire concert.
Yeah, and there was that skater guy who did that dancing, that hockey player who did that dancing stuff. Could it be inspirational?
This could be an inspiration for that Russian dancing figure skater guy. Hockey guy. Folks, you're listening to the Drew Marshall Show, and I think both of our guests have just hung up. We're going to talk about the NHL for the next hour, and we're looking forward to that. We hardly ever, honestly, talk about sports. But, of course, the hockey world lost a great man this week. Pat Quinn coached our beloved and beleaguered Toronto Maple Leafs for 8 years. He coached Team Canada to Olympic gold and received the prestigious Order of Canada. So joining myself to talk about the big Irishman and all things hockey are the one and only Mr. NHL TV and radio analyst Mark Osborne, and the man behind Bure Family Wines, which is like, I don't know, illegal nectar is what it is. It's just fantastic stuff. Val Bure. Hey, Val, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Drew. Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Mark, Val, Mark. When was the last time? Have you guys ever talked to each other?
Believe it or not, we have, Drew. And when's the last time you talked to either of us together?
I have never talked to either of you two together. What a privilege to have both of you at the same time. Val, what are you in the middle of? What are you doing right now?
I'm about to go in the rink to watch my middle son.
Are both your boys playing hockey, Val?
Yes, both of them. One is 14, so he plays Bantam, and another one's 12, still playing Pee Wee.
Okay, and this might be a little sensitive question, and Mark, just hold on a second. We'll get to you in a second. But Val, with your two sons, which one of them is more like Pavel, and which one of them is more like you? In other words, which one's the better hockey player?
The one that looks like me.
Zing. Hey?
Yeah. Nicely played, Val.
Now, listen, I didn't do a whole lot of research on you guys because, well, I didn't care. But Mark, Val...
Is that because we were too late of the notice?
Yes, it was
because you didn't have too much time to research.
It's because
it was the last thing. You called me last night. Hey, can you be on the show? Is that why?
Yeah, or Valerie, what it was is that, as Drew already articulated so well, that they don't usually talk about sports, nor do they talk about hockey on Canada's most listened to Christian radio. And try to figure that one out. Eh? It's our sport, the best game that we've ever played, and yet this guy doesn't talk about hockey.
Man,
so I knew
this was a bad idea getting these two together. Good night,
Drew. I think you better hang up, and just Mark and I will talk for a little bit.
Oh man! Now listen, I have a serious question for both of you guys. You're both married to Hollywood divas. How much is the counseling, the marriage counseling? Because that's just got to be tough, eh, Mark, being married to Hollywood diva?
It hasn't been tough at all. I mean, when you meet somebody and fall in love with them and you realize that you're marrying them for who they are and not what they do, then it's been smooth sailing. You may have a different opinion from my wife, having to go north of the border to find someone, and in Val's case, she had to go all the way across the ocean, so there you go.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, you both, I mean, you're power couples. Val, you're a power couple. What does that look like? What does that feel like, you and Candace Cameron being a power couple?
What does it feel like? I'm not sure.
Hey.
It feels good.
It feels good.
Yeah.
How is she as sweet as she comes across on television? And because she seems pretty sweet, does she have an evil side to her, a bad side, Val?
Well, I think you know her better than I do. It's all a show, Drew. She's only nice on TV.
Yeah.
Once she gets off TV, oh.
I know. Well, listen, Mark, every time I look into the stats on my website for drewmarshall.ca, and of course, I'm the number one name that people look for when they come to our website. That makes sense. But you know who is always number two? Is your wife, Madeline. Can you explain that to me? Why is your wife taking over my statistics?
Well, you know what? Maybe because if you Google Madeline and you look for images, somehow there's a picture of you and her from when she came in and did your show, and none of us can figure out how in the world you got in there. Like, why would we want to see a picture of Drew Marshall
with my
wife? But anyways, I have no idea other than... maybe you just made it that way.
Now, did either of you guys have any face-to-face dialogue, any time spent with Pat Quinn over your years in the NHL? Val?
Well, Kevin, you know, I knew Pat through my brother. Obviously, he was a coach. He was the one who brought him to Vancouver. So,
yeah.
You know, I spent quite a bit of time. And the last time I seen Pat is when my brother's jersey was retired in Vancouver. So we spent probably a good half an hour just talking to him. So, yeah, that's my last encounter with Pat.
What was your impression of him?
You know, we love Pat as our family going. He was extremely generous to our family. And like I said, I'm not sure without him my brother would be as a hockey player as he turned out to be. He helped him out tremendously as a young athlete and as a young person coming in into North America. He kind of took him under his wing. So we're grateful for that. And Pat was just just probably a part of our family.
Now, I know there was a time where you were kind of bugged with the Canucks organization because they hadn't retired his sweater yet.
No, that's incorrect. I was bugged with Mike Gillis, but now with Vancouver Canucks organization, because Mike Gillis thought he's bigger than any world personality there is out there. So, and he's going to decide if my brother's jersey is going to get retired. But as far as Vancouver Canucks, I don't have a problem with them.
Okay, I'm glad we cleared that up here in the Drew Marshall
show. That's obviously why Mike Gillis is not there anymore. They finally figured it out.
How about you, Ozzy? Did you ever have any conversations with the big Irishman?
Oh, yeah, there was a number of times that I've run into Pat, much like Val. Never did play for Pat Quinn. Our paths only crossed when Pat was obviously coaching the Vancouver Canucks when I was playing for the Maple Leafs, or when he was coaching the Flyers, and I was retired when Pat was coaching here for the Maple Leafs. But I did see Pat a couple of months ago. He came into the Hockey Hall of Fame where they had a dinner honoring Ron Ellis, and Ron played with Pat with the Leafs back in the late 60s, and then when Pat coached the Team Canada World Juniors to gold that year, he actually asked Ronnie Ellis to come and address the kids because of, you know, their fame and fortune against the Russians back in 72 with him and Henderson. And so Pat did not look good a couple of months ago, and I think he was keeping his illness, you know, quite private. And yet, you know, all the people that I've played with, I'm sure Val's played with, nothing but real neat things to say about the relationship that they had with Pat, the type of coach that he was. I mean, he was hard-nosed, the old Irish man that he was, and yet there was a human side to him that was very, very endearing, I think, to all of his players. And so, obviously, the hockey world is going to miss a great one that mentored so many players, so many, you know, coaches or managers, and I mean, he was bigger than life in our game, and he's obviously going to be sadly missed.
Sure. And there was a great article in the Toronto Sun recently where they summarized just sort of his top 10 moments with Pat Quinn. Of course, Team Canada and Salt Lake City in 2002, Team Canada World Cup of Hockey in 2004, Stanley Cup Final in 1994 with the Canucks, and Stanley Cup Final in 1980, with the Flyers, 35-game unbeaten streak. That was just incredible. The World Junior Championship, of course, in 2009. The Vancouver Canucks years, basically from 1987 to 97. There's a decade for you. And, of course, the years with the Toronto Maple Leafs, 1998 and to all the way to 2006. Memorial Cup champion and Hockey Hall of Fame chairman. I mean, just a legacy and a half. I saw something on television a while ago, and you'd know this guy as well, Aussie Gary Dornhofer, and Gary Dornhofer and Pat Quinn played against each other in the Memorial Cup back when they were kids. You know, I mean, that's a long time. You weren't even born then, Mark.
Well, it depends what year, Drew.
I think it was 1936. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. It may have been in the late 50s when he was, you know, playing in the OHA at that time. So, yeah, I was born in 61. Yeah. So.
Now, I want to ask you guys some other questions here about hockey in general. By the way, on the phone with Valerie Burry and Mark Osborne, both NHL greats. You know, there was big news recently when the Leafs were tanked a couple of games big time, and some Yahoo threw a jersey onto the ice, a Leafs jersey, as a sign of disrespect. But the bigger thing that maybe made it more than it really is or was the very next game when the Leafs won at home, they didn't come to center ice and raise their sticks like they do in the minor leagues. And I'm not sure why they started doing, I don't know, it kind of seems cheesy, a cheesy thing to do. I get it, it's a sign of respect, it's a way to suck up to the people that are paying stupid prices for a hockey game. But they didn't do it the game after the jersey throwing incident. And Mark, I know you're in media and you're an analyst here for the NHL. How has this thing been summarized, and where is it at now, Mark?
Well, obviously it was not a very positive thing for the players to decidedly do last second and not acknowledge the fans after a win. And if we just take it back into perspective, the reason why it was, you know, quite a significant story is because when the Leafs had gone through a couple of real terrible losses and the jerseys that were tossed on the ice, Ron Wilson, the former Leaf coach, was quoted as saying that the reason why it's a tough place to play here in Toronto is because the fans are terrible. And so that just, you know, further added fuel to the fire when the Leaf players decide not to salute the fans, which I think since the Rangers did in the playoffs about 5 years ago, every team after a team wins just goes to center ice as the fans are departing and raises their sticks. And so, yeah, it was a bit of a significant message that I think these particular players sent. And I know it's a long-winded answer, but yet they acknowledged it the other night when they did win around the crease, and I think they're trying to put it well behind them, but I think for the most part it's really not a big deal, and yet it is a big deal here when there's a lot of things that come under scrutiny, and certainly when this team has been questioned as far as their leadership and character, I think it just further is a story that people like to talk about.
Valerie Burry, as a player back in the day, did you have a team that you played for in which you could now hindsight or even at the time look at and say, boy, the crowds there, they were tough. That was a tough home crowd we had.
Montreal was, you know, not a easiest place to play.
Or live.
Or live. There you go. You know, when they boo Patrick when we lost, I believe, to Detroit, and that was his last game. You know, it's not an easy place to play. So I think that's the one city that kind of stood out for me as a place where, you know, you basically have to win every game or else you get booed.
You know, we got to talk about the concussions, the hitting, the fighting, you know, all this kind of stuff. And there are some, and I guess I would put myself in this category, guys, where I think the chickification of the NHL has really hit its prime time. I can't wait for us to get rid of hard hockey sticks and start using sponge sticks because that'll be safer. Val, I want to go to you first on this because, you know, really, your people are the ones to blame for the chickification of the NHL.
Your people.
Yeah. Well, what is my people?
All those Europeans. Come on, I get my hockey education from Don Cherry, and Grapes is the one that's taught us right from the beginning that, you know, the Europeans have come in and they've changed the game, and now we no longer hit like we used to, and then there's all these rules and penalties, and it's just kind of gotten chickified, man. What do you think?
Well, I mean, if you say my people, I'm American now, so if you're going against the USA, I don't have a problem. We'll take that, and I'll show you plenty of the tough guys coming from this side of the border. Drew, I don't know if you did your research at all on where I've been in the last 25 years.
Okay.
But you know what? Hockey, still the hardest sport to play out there. You're watching the guys in the playoffs playing with separated shoulders, broken ribs, and all that stuff. There's always going to be guys that, you know, will shut it down when they get played hard against. But at the end of the day, best sport in the world, hardest to play. The chickification, whatever you call it, I don't really care. But
yeah, you know what? You know what he's really trying to say, Val, is that he never played the game. And, you know, remember, he was, I think, a kicker when he played football. And so roughing the kicker was one of those, wow, are you okay?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go, Drew. Don't bring that up anymore.
All right. That's the end of that topic. Actually, you know, on a sort of serious, well, very serious note, I watched the footage of that cricket player from Australia who got a spinning ball into the side of the head, and then obviously it hurt him, and he put his hands on both of his knees while he was standing there, and then he just collapsed face first in the dirt, and then just recently he died from this. And you know, concussions are really the talk in the sports world, right? And I'm not sure where that ball actually hit him, but in hockey, concussions is the big thing. Do you guys have any ill will or malice towards the league in regards to, you know, how they treated you as part of the machine? Do you think they really cared about you and especially your head back in the day, Mark?
Well, first of all, I think it's just been a progression in the game, Drew, with the way that things, I think, have advanced, not only awareness, safety, the way that the medical community, I think, is taking better care of the players. I mean, we've gone from the days in which the backup goaltender was the trainer. Like, think about that in the 50s and the 60s for the iconic guys that we grew up watching to, you know, a time when there weren't you weren't even required as a medical trainer to even be certified
right.
During the time and why I played, and then obviously, you know, things started to progress and change, and more head injuries. So there has been a significant effort to make the game safer. I think it's just been a journey in the game, and there's no question, as you say, chickify the game. I think what you're saying is that You're pretty well soon. It might be a game where there is no fighting again in the game, and there's all sorts of debates on the whole entire subject. But I think, and Val would probably agree, you know, as a skilled player, which he was when he did come into the game, that to be intimidated or try to be taken advantage of as a young skilled player by a physically bigger, taller, aggressive person was a tough way to play the game, but. Again, for you that did not do research on Val, he scored 35 goals one year in Calgary. So I think he found his way around the ice, and he was a young guy, a small guy, and yet found a way to compete with the bigger guy. So.
Well, I did know that over
your... Back on that, Drew.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks, Val. I do know that, Ozzy, you scored 200 career goals. Is that correct?
A little more, Drew, just a few more.
Come on, how many?
I don't know, but I know it was over 200.
Oh, geez. Okay, well, you better phone the NHL because their website says it's 200.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. 900 yeah. NHL games, I think. That's what they've also got there.
That's right.
Yeah. So
what else do you want to know?
Nothing. I'm just trying to prove that I got stuff in front of me that I just don't care about.
Yeah.
He's doing a research now, Mark.
I got the Google going right in front of me
here.
That's very professional, Drew.
Okay. Again, sort of on a serious note, even though, boy, it'd be fun to hang out with you guys, well, at least for me. Up next on the show is Clint Malarchuk, and Clint's got a book out that we're going to chat about. It's called Crazy Game, How I Survived in the Crease and Beyond. At least that's the Canadian title. Have either of you guys watched the video where Clint's neck was slit by the skate? Mark, have you seen that?
I didn't even know that happened, Drew. Of course we all know about it. We played in that generation
when
it happened to Clint.
I know you know about it, but have you watched the video? Because you weren't on the ice.
Yeah, we did. We've seen that a number of times. Yeah, it was a horrific event for sure.
How about you, Val?
No, I've never seen it. Clint was one of our coaches when I played, and I got to know him pretty well. So I talked to him about it a few times.
Oh, you have. Okay. All right. Well, then I'll say hi on your behalf, and Mark, I'll just ignore you during the upcoming conversation with.
Yeah. Well, I'm used to that. So
yeah.
Well, listen, guys. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. Of course, a little Irish salute. We'll tip one back after the show on behalf of the big Irishman, Pat Quinn. Of course, we lost him this week at the age of 71. I'm looking at Paul Allen, by the way, who's sitting beside me here. Ozzy, Paul's in the house. He's going to help me interview Clint. I didn't realize that Gary Dornhofer was 71 as well, because, you know, they're the same age. 70. Boy, you guys are
Irish.
You're so old. Yeah, and Irish with Dornhofer. That's good. Folks, two great guys. Love hanging out with them both. Mark Osborne and Val Burray here on the Drew Marshall Show. Guys, I really appreciate your time, especially you, Val, because Mike Gartner bailed on me last night and I needed someone to replace him. So, thanks, Val.
No worries, anytime.
All right.
You got it.
See you guys. All right, folks, short break. When we come back, like I said, Clint Malarchuk.
That I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you, baby. One.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.